Okay. Hello, everybody. Today we're going to look at Isaiah 9:6, and it says, "Unto us a child is born, and the son is given the government. It will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The word son comes from bana, and it means to be a builder of the family name. And the government there means to rule and have dominion, okay? And it comes from Sarah, which means to persist and exert oneself and contend for and have power as a prince. And it's given, which means to set and place, bestow upon. Now, on their shoulders, which is Shechem, on his shoulders, which is Shechem, it means a portion to bear burdens, okay? Responsibility for rule. Romans 8:19 says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation of the revelation of the sons of God awaits, which is the unveiling and the uncovering of the spiritual manifestation of Christ, the Word." So especially a particular spiritual manifestation of Christ, which is his will, and it was previously unknown, okay? So, which means the apocalypse, okay? So the unveiling and the uncovering of the spiritual manifestation, which is the Spirit of Christ manifested, which is, you know, the Word. Okay, so creation waits and longs for, so your creation and the Spirit is inside of you, and we're all longing for the revelation of the Spirit, or for all of creation to get the revelation of the Spirit of Christ. And that revelation means a disclosure of truth, okay? So it's especially relating to Christian salvation given to the soul of God himself, given to the soul by God himself, okay? It's for the operation of the Holy Spirit, and it's to be distinguished from other methods of instruction. All right, so Ephesians 3:3 says that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. I have written in this brief. So a mystery is a secret, and it holds the counsel of God. And once hidden, now it's revealed. It's a mystery, not something unknowable, but rather it is what can only be known through revelation. Hence, you can only get it through the Spirit, receiving the Spirit. So when God's Spirit... God gives the soul, he gives the soul the Spirit, okay, so it can be saved, all right? So the word there comes from muo, which is the word secret, and it means to be initiated into the mysteries, and I am disciplined. So Holy Spirit enables the believer to learn God's open secrets. So without the Holy Spirit, you can't even have a secret place. So he says that, you know, those who are in the secret place have been disciplined and they're initiated into the mysteries, okay? So by experiencing faith in every decision of life becomes equally and eternally meaningful. So it's living by faith and not by like a slave, and that means you're taught fully in every condition, okay, or several circumstances. So I've been disciplined by experience, it says, Paul says, that whoever... whatever will be my lot, I can endure it. So he's been disciplined by his experiences. Okay, so in everything and in all things have I learned the secret to being filled, okay, which means to be instructed and have learned the secret and how to be instructed, which is to be filled, okay, which is to be intimate with the Holy Spirit. Okay. So the hidden purpose or the counsel and the secret will, it's not obvious to normal understanding is what he's saying. So normal understanding can't work out the hidden purposes of God. It's hidden from them. And the secret counsel which governs God in dealing with the righteous, which are hidden from ungodly and wicked men, but plain to the godly. So 2 Thessalonians 2:7 says, "For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he's taken out of the way." And so he's saying there is a power of lawlessness that is already working. Now, it's a secret power. It's behind the scenes in the hidden unseen realm of lawlessness. Lawlessness is iniquity, disobedience, and sin. It's without the law. It has a disregard for God's laws, his written and his living word. And that means the Bible and the Spirit in him, in us, his Spirit. It includes the end impact of law breaking, which is being disobedient to God, and a negative influence on a person's soul. Okay, and he says there that he, when he's operating, it's already operating, but the one who now holds it back, so holds back the operation of the power of lawlessness, which is, it's the power of lawlessness is that which hinders, namely the Antichrist. So it's the Antichrist spirit. And that's just without the Lord. Whoever's without the Lord is the Antichrist spirit. And he, when the presence of the Lord is, when the Spirit of the Lord is operating inside a vessel, it's operating and it's at work, well, that spirit in you holds back the power of lawlessness. It hinders, namely, the Antichrist from making his appearance. Okay? So the Antichrist can't make his appearance when the power of the law, when the Lord is at work in you. Okay, that's what it's saying. And so the he says, but when the law is removed, or when the Lord is removed and he's taken out of the way, power of lawlessness is operating again. Okay, so but the one, he holds it back because he's in you and he can hold it back because he's the Lord and he's got the power to, his power, automatically holds and hinders and binds the operations and the workings of the spirit of lawlessness, the power of lawlessness, which is the lawlessness in all the land, which is what most people are worried about. They're worried about all the rise of the 1% and, you know, global agenda and things like that. So he's saying, you know, the solution is for the Lord's spirit to be sent to your soul and to take residence in your body so he can, you can learn how to for him to operate through you in the law against the other power. Okay, so he says in the mist, which is inside of you, okay, it's around the belt of truth. So when he's removed from the mist of you, okay, which is inside of you, in the middle of you, the belt of truth, inside your productive area, because that's what makes you productive, and you birth the Lord and you birth the promises of God and you birth, you know, creative things. And that comes from having the Spirit in you. That's how you birth creative stuff, okay? And until he might be gone, which means he's gone from one realm to another. So we bring him from the unseen realm by reading the word and by faith as well, just by faith and believing that Jesus has done it. So by faith, boom, he's come into us. When we read the word, it helps us get stronger. Our spirit gets stronger. But by faith, we receive him, Abraham's promise. We receive the Lord like that, and he comes in. And then when it says he comes from the unseen realm where there are powers operating that you can't see, that you don't know about. So he manifested himself into a body as Jesus so we could see what Jesus looks like, so we could see what the Lord looks like. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we have a demonstration of what God looks like. A lot of things, they say if the Christ is here, the Christ is there. Don't believe them, okay? He's saying he came as Jesus. You look at Jesus' life, it was beautiful. You can't fault it. So anyway, so in the unseen realm, he enters into your body, which brings him into a new realm. He's from the spiritual realm, now manifesting the spiritual realm inside of your physical realm, inside of your physical condition. And it brings a change in condition, and it brings a change in state of condition, okay? So when he's removed out of us by not holding faith and not believing anymore, then there's nothing protecting us from the secret powers of lawlessness, which is the Antichrist operating. But when he's in us and he's been translated into our physical realm, which is our body, then his power is operating through us, and he holds back the power of lawlessness, and it cannot operate in your life. Okay? And that's salvation. Salvation, he comes into you and his hands are up and he's holding back the power and hindering the power of the Antichrist, the power of lawlessness that is against you. that wants to harm you and cause problems in your life, and it causes disobedience, it causes you to sin, it causes iniquity, it causes all this horrible stuff in your life. Any area of your life that has any of that operating, it's the work of the power of lawlessness. So by faith, we receive salvation. He comes into our physical body. And then all of a sudden, that power of lawlessness stops operating and has no more power over you. And now you've got the Lord, who is the law, and above all, inside of you, operating. And he says, I forgive your sin, which means I forgive all the disobedience and all the inequity that happened when I wasn't located in your body. Because you didn't have me in you. So, of course, that's what you're going to do. Because you can't do anything else. There's only two powers. You're either going to have him in you and do his power, or have another power in you and do that power. So it's forgiven. And he says, and I will forget you. I won't remember your sin no more, and it'll be completely gone. Okay, and he takes care of it. Okay. And he uses all things for good, and he works all things together for your good and for your purpose, and those who are called according to his purpose, and those who love God. Amen. All right, so then he comes in, it says, in showing themselves in a physical space, and comes into existence. So his spiritual manifestation, his spirit from the unseen realm, which is right around you right now. If you just look around, that's the spirit realm. You can't see, it looks like nothing. You're manifested. Okay, so he comes from that realm and enters your body and comes and makes himself existent. I exist now inside of you. Okay, Romans 8:19 says, so the earnest expectation, the intense expectation, fosters an earnest longing to see Jesus. Okay, and what that's talking about is like those who have manifested the spiritual manifestation of Jesus are longing that all creation would know the spiritual manifestation of Jesus inside of them, so they could operate in the law and they could rebuke and push back the power of lawlessness. The more that are pushing back the power of lawlessness with the physical existence of the Lord inside of their body, the less that it says that we hinder the appearing of the Antichrist. Okay? All right. And it says there, so it's when, you know, when he's when the earnest expectation means that, you know, away from the head, away from the authority, away from his head, which is the authority, which is the spirit. Okay, so when you come into completion and full knowing and full knowledge of who you are, you're restored to the head. You become the head now, not the tail. Colossians 2:10 says, and in Christ you have been brought to the fullness. He is the head in every power and authority through your union. Okay, so and in Christ you've been brought to fullness. Okay, so now you're in Christ, you have, because by his spirit, you're in Christ because the spirit has been put inside of you. He's come from the unseen realm into your physical body by his spirit. And that brings you to fullness, which means completion. And he is the head over every power and authority. So there's no more powers or authority that can cause lawlessness in your life. Lawlessness has been hindered and bound. It has no more operation and no more working in your life, okay? Because you are in him, which means I exist in him. I am exists in him. Okay, complete means to be made full, and complete means to be flooded, liberally furnished with the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that nothing shall be lacking, to full measure consummated, until perfect deliverance and blessedness be celebrated in the heavenly state, to carry through to the end. Okay, Colossians 1:25, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its, again, fullness, which is completeness. It means those who are liberally furnished with the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit, okay, to present to you the word of God, which means fully consummated means to be fully furnished in the spirit, which means the spiritual manifestation of Jesus in the physical realm of your body now. Okay? Okay. And then that, and it says there that, you know, and then being given the commission, which is the administration and the management of the household, where another looks for another, looks after another's affairs, carried out for this secret purpose, Ephesians 3:2. The secret purpose is what? It's to furnish and to have order, have the counsel of God going on inside of them. the gift of the Holy Spirit, liberally furnished with the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 4:3 says, so also when we were children under the basic principles of the world, we were held in bondage. And the word children there means to be unenlightened and unlearned, an infant and immature, unskilled and untaught, okay? So when we were children, which means we were under the world, in the world, okay? Which is means to be under the basic principles of the world. The world means cosmos, okay? The cosmos. Basic principles of the world is like the elementary rule or the stoicsia, which means to be elemental spirits, cosmic spirit, ancient astral beings associated with the very beginning of mankind, where we were indoctrinated before the time of Christ, it says. Okay, so before the time of Christ, it was an indoctrination of ancient astral beings, okay, from the very beginning, cosmic spirits, elemental spirits. This is before the time of Christ. So those were they're the basic principles of the world. And being subject, it says, being subject, under subjection and enslaved to those heavenly beings or that cosmos. So automatically it goes with another. So under the and held by constraint or under the law, it says, and to be held by constraint of the law of the universe. So be controlled and enslaved to and under subjection to the cosmic and elemental spirits of the cosmos and not by the Lord. So Galatians 4:4 says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Redeem means to buy up and to rescue from loss. Okay, so if you've lost anything, he will redeem it. He redeems you and he redeems all that was lost with you. He buys you for himself, okay? Buy one for one's own use is what he's saying, okay? Okay. And then it says it's for divine adoption as sons, which is a huiothesia, and it means a son into a divine family, which means legally made a son. Legally made a son by law because of the law that's now in you. Okay, no longer dictated by the universal elements and controlled by elemental spirits. Okay, which is just the common basic principles of the world. So now the new basic principles, the first principles of basic Christianity. Okay, well, that's the basic principles of Christianity, that elemental spirits control the world, the cosmos, and put you under a law, which is a subjection to the working of those spirits, to the working of that earth, that world. All right. And now the spirit comes into you, makes you a son legally, and it sets you up and establishes you. And the nature and the condition of the true disciples of Christ, who by receiving the Spirit of God into their soul, become the sons of God. The consummate condition of the soul of God, which will render it evident that they are the sons of God. So the Spirit is, it consummates your condition. It changes your condition. It changes your state. It takes you from a created worldly natural being and makes you spiritual by the spiritual manifestation of God, the Lord, inside of you, and you get the by the Holy Spirit. Okay, not an elemental spirit, but by the Holy Spirit. And it changes your condition, and you will not be worldly, and you will not be carnal, and you will not be natural. You've become spiritual through spiritual senses. Okay, Galatians 4:6. Because now you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of the Son of him into the hearts of us, crying out, Abba, Father. So because now you're sons, okay, so we receive the by faith, we become a son. We're adopted into the family of God. We believe Jesus. We follow Jesus. And because of that, now you're a son. And now, because of you're a son, God sends forth his Spirit of the Son. Okay, because you claim to be a son of God, because you agree that you're a son of God, you get the Spirit of the Son. So God's Son, who is Jesus, who has the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus is given to you because you are the same as Jesus. You identify as the Son of God. So you get the Spirit of the Son. And then when we get the Spirit of the Son, it says into our heart, the cardia, then we cry out, we exclaim, Abba Father, Abba Father. Okay, it says Abba means to be a dependent relationship with the Father. Why? Because you're continuously in faith, believing for the Father to supply your needs, not for the world, not the carnal, natural world through your natural senses, what you can see. Okay, we walk by faith, not by sight. It's not about what we can perceive here in the natural. It's about what's coming from the supernatural, from the heavens, from the spirit realm, through the Holy Spirit, directly from the Father. Okay? The cardia is the heart, and it means the heart, the mind, the character, the inner self, the will, the intention, and the center. It has the capacity for moral preference and a desire. It desires decisions and establishes who we are. Okay, the heart desires decisions that establishes who we are, and God sends His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, directly into your heart to change your heart, to change your mind, to change your character, to change your inner self, to change your will. So no longer is it your will be done, but God's will, the Father's will, right? You begin to speak that. And that's when you cry out, Abba, Father. It's because it's not my will, your will be done. Yes, Father, whatever you want, Father. Your words will begin to identify and will start to speak what the Spirit's saying, what the Spirit does to you. Okay? Your intentions change. Your moral preferences change. That's what it's saying. That's what the Spirit does to you. It changes your condition. It changes the state of who you are. Okay? So no longer are you a slave, but a son. And if a son, now an heir through God. That's the next. So heir means an inheritor by land disposition and a legacy. Okay? Comes from the word kleros, and it means a portion assigned to one. Now it's one who received his allotted possession by right of sonship, all things being subjected now to his way. Okay, so no longer are you subjected to the slave, no longer are you subjected like a slave person in the world and enslaved to the cosmos and just the way things the way things operate in the world. You're no longer that person. You are now an heir, and you've inherited a portion of the kingdom. You've been assigned a portion of the kingdom. It says that you've been, in Isaiah, it says that you've been allotted, you know, the government, which is a rule and dominion, okay, and a burden has been placed upon you, on your shoulders, which means it gives you the operating power to rule and have dominion in your portion, in your allotted portion. You have possession as a right of sonship. You're the possessor of the kingdom. You possess the kingdom now. All things are now subjected to the Lord's sway. What the Lord wants to happen is what happens. All things are under subjection to Him because He's in you. Okay, no longer are you pushed around and controlled by the things of this world and the elements of this world. Okay, and the Spirit changes you. It changes your heart. It changes your mind, your will, everything. Okay, now by through instrumentally on the account of God. So you possess the kingdom as an instrument of God. Instrumentally, it says, because on the account of God. You're a possessor of the kingdom because you're an instrument of God. Okay? Galatians 4:8 says, but at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who were by nature not gods. Okay? Which is saying, this is Galatians 4:8. At that time when you didn't know God, you were a slave to those who by nature were not gods. Okay, so he's saying that by nature you are conformed into the image of God. Okay, and that means all things are subjected to his sway in you, to your sway, your decree, because you're a king. Okay, you're an inheritor of the kingdom. You're an heir of the kingdom. What you say happens by the decree of a king. No longer are you a slave, but now a son and now an heir through God. And so your nature has, because of the Spirit that's been sent from God, because you claim your sonship. Amen. You claim your sonship. That's it. You claim it by faith. There's nothing you have to do. It's been given. I claim it by faith. And because I claim it by faith, the Spirit is sent to me. The Spirit of the Son is given to me because I'm a son. That's right. And then you get the Spirit of the Son. And then you'll get the nature of the Son. Hello, Jesus. You get the nature of the Son. Your will is changed. Your mind is changed. Your heart is changed. And he says, now, before you knew any of this, you were a slave to those who had the nature, but they weren't. They had the nature of not a god, which means they had the nature of the world and elemental spirits or so-called gods who don't even exist, is what he says. Now, by birth, now the word nature means by birth, and inherent the force and the laws and the order of nature, native conviction, guided by their natural senses of what is right and proper. Okay, so they think what is right and proper according to their natural senses. Their natural senses, guided by the natural senses of what is right and proper. That's your natural faculties. Not talking about when he comes into you and makes you a spirit being. That's a spiritual manifestation. You are now using your spiritual senses. Not, you don't judge by your natural. We don't judge. We don't walk by our eyesight. We walk by faith, which is spirit. Amen? So you're made of the nature of these people who aren't even gods, which puts you in a slavery type of life made of feeling and acting, which by long habit has become nature. And that's what he's saying. So you're born that way, and it's by the force and the laws and the order and the nature of the native conviction of this earth, of this cosmos, okay? And then you are made to feel and act like this because you've done it for such a long time. It becomes a habit, and it doesn't feel natural to be a spiritual being. And that's why when he sends his Spirit of his Son, because you're now a son, you become a son and you begin to change and you begin to feel differently. You know, you begin to feel like the Son. Amen. All right, and then he says, Galatians 4:9, he says, now having known God and being known by God, how do you turn to the weak and destitute principles to which again are new to be enslaved once again by your desires? Okay, the weak means without strength and infirmity and sick, a depletion, without adequate strength and unimpressive and helpless. Destitute means one who crouches and covers and poor and is spiritually poor and positioned and afflicted. Okay, so how do you now, he's saying, so now you've been known by God and God knows you. How do you turn to the weak and destitute principles, which are the basic principles of the world, which make you without strength, give you infirmities, make you sick, they deplete your energy, they're not adequate in strength, they're unimpressive. Okay, and they're helpless, they can't help you. And a destitute principle, which makes you crouch over and become poor and spiritually poor. This is talking about without the Spirit. Okay, it means to be without the Spirit. And you know, you can attend churches, and that church can be without the Spirit. And they can say they've got the Spirit, but you're going to be able to tell because you're going to be without strength. You're going to feel depleted. You might feel it's not impressive. You might feel helpless. You might feel like you're spiritually poor and destitute again. And you've got to check your fruit, you know. Okay, so you attend here or you go into the world in any capacity. What's your fruit like the next day? Are you love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness? Or are you envious, jealous, controlling, and all the other fruit that we talk about in Galatians 5 that you can go read for yourself? It's a good indication. When you're in the Spirit, which it says we talked about it in Ephesians, that you stay full, you stay filled of the Spirit. How do we do that? We marinate in the Spirit. You stay in the Spirit, okay? When you go into the world, you lose strength and you're depleted because you're with the Spirit, and then you go into the world and it sucks off your spirit because it's looking for energy to keep functioning. It's looking for energy to keep itself alive, okay? All right. So we don't want to go and keep the world alive. We want it to die off so it can enter the Spirit. Amen. All right. So Galatians 4, 23 says, but one was God, sorry, one was born to a slave woman, which is of the flesh, according to the flesh, meaning human nature and natural, and one was born free through the promise, okay, which is free means to be unbound, free to realize one's destiny in Christ, and unrestrained, not bound by obligation. Promise means a message or an announcement. So the one was born as a slave woman of the flesh, okay, born of a slave woman, and which is a human and natural, and then the other one is born free, unbound, able to realize their destiny, unrestrained, not bound up by the natural, which we talked about there, the natural orders and the natural senses of what's right and proper. Because what you see in the natural is right and proper. It's not always right and proper. The spirit, and that's why by the spirit it's different. The spirit is a child of promise, okay? So they believe the message of promise. They believe that they're a child of, they believe they're a son just because Jesus said you're a son. And they believe it and they claim it by faith. And then because of that, God sends them the spirit of the son to make them, to change them into the spirit, to change them into the son. Okay? Okay, a slave, natural human nature doesn't have the spirit. So you're not claiming sonship and you're not receiving the spirit, and you instead of coming in authority and as an heir and feeling empowered and transformed and changed, you feel more depleted and without strength and infirmities, okay? Now, I talked about it yesterday, to beware of the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That evil nature, which is a disobedient nature, which is not by faith, okay? All right, doesn't believe Jesus is the Son of God, and they don't believe that they are a Son of God. That's the difference. If you don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, then you can't receive the gift, the free gift of salvation to become sons of God. So we believe Jesus is the Son of God by faith. We don't have to do anything, so we accept that we're sons of God, and we accept the spirit that transforms our hearts and our minds and our character into the Son. Amen? All right. So then we're born as a result of promise because God said it. Okay? So heavenly Jerusalem is the, it brings peace. Okay? So now our mother is Jerusalem in the spirit, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's who mothers us, the peace, and brings us peace. It makes you spirit-filled and gives you spiritual faculties. And then we have ruling and dominion of spirit over all of the elements, over this world, over lawlessness, okay? Then the law through you hinders the appearance of the Antichrist. So if everyone is filled with the sonship, everybody is brought in as a son through believing the promise and receiving by faith the spirit and a change, having their character and their mind and will change, and not, and recognizing and learning to recognize when we go back into the world, we feel weak, depleted, unimpressed, that stuff. So oops, that's worldly, come back out of that. Oops, that's carnal, come back out of that, you know, because you want to stay filled in the spirit. You need to stay filled, okay, which causes you to be loving and peaceful. Amen? Amen. And dependent on the Father for him to provide all your needs. And that's all I got. So be filled of the spirit. Thank you, Father, for the spirit of adoption, that we're sons of God, receiving the spirit of Jesus, the spirit of the Son by faith because of who we are, that you're transforming our minds and our character and our will, and that we won't go back out into the world, into any carnal institution, including the church, that only operates in a human and a natural way. Okay? We are now the church. We are the church. And the Lord is always doing a new thing, but this is more powerful. More people are waking up to who they are. And if you know who you are, you operate from that realm. Okay, so we keep him in. He's now in our physical realm. And we are protected. And we're instructed. And we're completely full to overflowing. And we stay full because we don't let go. We hold on by faith. We don't let go. And we don't go back into, a weak and destitute principles of the world that are ineffective and they don't help us. They're not helpful. All of our supply and all of our provision comes from the Spirit who's inside of us and the Father who tells the Spirit, okay, speaks to the Spirit, and we live that way. And we stay full and overflowing. Amen. And then He allots your portion. He allots your land. He allots your legacy. Okay? And you stay there and don't ever come out. Amen. God bless you and God keep you.